everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. And one of the issues we like to talk about is spirituality here. No matter what flavor it takes in your life, spirituality can be a very important aspect of your reintegration. I've got a guest today named Don C. Harris. He's written a book called Until Christ Be Formed in You, Think Red Ink. And I think you're going to like this discussion with Don about the Bible. And we'll be back with Don right after this. My name's Rodney Mathers, and you're on the journey. Hey, got a show idea? Send it on to me and we'll check it out and I'll get back with you. It's mathersrodney@yahoo.com, mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Everybody, and welcome back. My guest today is Don C. Harris. He's got a book out called Until Christ Be Formed in You, Think Red Ink. Did I say the title right? Don has sought to separate the facts and the fiction, or what he says are the facts and fiction of the Bible. He says the Bible is not necessarily the Word of God, but Jesus is who he says he is. We're going to have, this ought to be a pretty interesting discussion. Don, how are you?
I'm doing fine, sir. How about you?
Doing wonderful. Can you give us a little bit about your background so we've got an idea of where you're coming from? Tell us a little bit about Don.
Sure. A lot of times when I talk about some of the things I talk about, people worry a little that I'm not as conventional as some. But there was a time when I was steeped in conventional Christianity. And I don't know, I just found that it just didn't work for me very well. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a new man. I didn't want to just involve myself in some kind of behavior modification and trade my habits for accepted ones. I wanted to be a different man.
Okay. And so when we talk about the Bible not being necessarily the Word of God, what generally is it that you're contesting? What are people getting wrong about the Bible, in your view?
Well, it's not a matter of interpretation or translation or any of the rest of the conventional arguments. It just has to do with the fact that Jesus Christ took to himself the title, the Word of God. And because he did, it really does change everything. It doesn't matter if you're Christian, Muslim, Jew, doesn't matter. All three of these major denominations, if you will, consider themselves to be people of the book. Well, the problem with the book is it requires an interpreter. And whether that's you or somebody else, you still have to interpret it. Where Jesus' promise to us was not that when I go away, I'm going to send a book. But when I go away, I'm going to send the Spirit of God, and he will lead you and guide you into all truth. And so I became fascinated with the fact that the Bible never refers to itself as the Word of God, and I don't care if people do. It's not in neither here nor there. But when the Bible replaces the guidance that God has promised us, I think we should be very, very concerned. Usually if you say the Bible's not the Word of God, people immediately think that you're saying that the Bible is not true. Oh, far from it. At least my perspective on this is that, I believe the Bible. I follow it as best I can. I think it's one of the greatest gifts God has ever given mankind. However, it's not God himself. And to be around many of the religious leadership, you will see that you will see soon that their God is a book and it is a Bible, and it's a dangerous prospect, because that's why you can take a Bible and create 5,000 major, 40,000 minor Christian, biblically based denominations, none of which can sit at the same table and have dinner together without fighting.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's always been interesting to me that these denominational lines exist to begin with. I mean, you know,
yes.
who are we to draw these lines? I've always felt that way.
Right.
Well, so I'm sure. Go ahead.
No, I feel like that. I feel like that. This idea, this concept, that it's not a new concept. I didn't invent it. It's in the scriptures. That Jesus Christ came to teach his people, and he did not consign that to any person, denomination, rabbi, teacher, priest, nobody. He says, one is your teacher, one is your rabbi, and all of you are brethren. And this one little concept, actually, it makes no place for denominations. And I mean, is there anything that's caused more problems in the body of Christ than denominations and silly dogmas and doctrines mm-hmm. that divide people? And you know, there's a lot of proponents of that philosophy feel like, well, we all need to believe the same thing. Well, guess what? We are never going to do that. And even people who subscribe to certain denominations and doctrines and such, I've never met anybody that says, I believe everything my church believes. So, you know, I guess what they're saying is if you don't believe like, if you believe like us, that's good. But if you don't, just shut up about it.
Right.
Well, I'm afraid it's caused problems. And you know, your work. I've been reading on the internet some of your work, and you know, you're my hero, man. This is just I love what you're doing here. And one of the things that when Jesus was judging this line of people in front of him, he says, "I was in prison, and you didn't come to me." Mm-hmm. And I remember as a jail chaplain myself at one time in my life, I remember wondering, what does he want us to do in these jails? Just go in there and get them to sign a little card and get them saved and send them out? I don't know what he wants me to do with these people.
Mm-hmm.
And since I have come to the understandings that I have that are in this book, Think Red Ink, I started to realize, oh, there really is an answer. There really is something known as regeneration. We've tried to call it salvation, but salvation has kind of turned into a badge or a membership card or a contract we have with God. But, you know, when I discovered regeneration and that the grace of God wasn't given to us to forgive us, it was given to us to perfect us. I thought, oh, I really do have something to give someone who wants to make a change in their life.
Mm-hmm. How is regeneration different than salvation? What is the difference there?
Salvation is something that happens. If you use the word salvation as the end of our existence as sinful human beings, I understand what you're saying. I understand, you know, how it would be difficult to you know, to distinguish a difference. But I said that backwards. If you consider salvation to be the end of our existence as sinful human beings, it is very, very different than regeneration. But if you consider it as the salvaging of a human being, then I would tell you now that I have been saved. But some of the problem with the terms of salvation and being saved is a concern to me, because many people feel that they have already attained that, having still in their life the old habits, the old ideas, the old philosophies. Nothing has really changed about their life. So what we need to do is teach them to, you know, give up their pack of cigarettes and give them chewing gum, or, you know, stop drinking and start overeating. Because, you know, we know that the church is going to frown on alcohol, but you can be as fat as a pig, and it's okay. So we start to exchange the accepted sins. We start to give them accepted sins and teach them to reject the unacceptable sins. When in reality, you still have a sinful creature that has no control over themselves, no control over their mind. And regeneration is the promise of Jesus Christ. He says, if you'll keep my commandments, I will come into you. And in that guidance, that daily guidance that he offers the people that go his way, is that he's going to make them into new people. This was the crux of the Sermon on the Mount. He was saying, just because you refrain from killing a man, I want you to know that you have not dealt with your nature. If you hate him, you're in just as bad a condition as a man who doesn't mind stepping over the commandment and killing someone.
Right.
And so regeneration, it's not magic. It is that when he regenerates us, all of a sudden we love our brother. This is why the Bible gives us three ways to know that we're the child of God. And one of those ways is that we love the brethren, which, you know, indicts a lot of people, but nevertheless, they're the words of Jesus.
Okay. We're going to take a real quick break. I knew this was going to be an interesting discussion. Don Harris is my guest. The book's called Until Christ Be Formed in You, Think Red Ink. And we'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope.
Stay away from the mortal kill. She'll only break your heart in time. Don't fall in love when you kill her. Smile your face. Touch of her hand. Ooh, don't care.
Got some great shows coming up in the next few weeks here on The Journey of Hope as we go into the fall, end out the summer. If you know someone that you think would make a great guest, or if you've got a story idea, something we could do here on the show that will help people reintegrate, send me an email, mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. And we're back. We're speaking with Don Harris. And like I said before, I knew this was going to be an interesting conversation. Why, Don, did you write the book?
Well, I am now operating a ministry called Think Red Ink. And actually, the idea came when we just kept running into people that said, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And I thought, I don't know that people understand what I mean when I say to think red ink. Well, it actually started for me when I wrote a book called The Questions of Jesus. And The Questions of Jesus appealed to me because I found that he had asked over 150 questions when he was here on the earth, some of which were answered, some of which were never answered. Some he answered himself, and I just became fascinated every day for 4 years and digging through the scriptures and finding questions.
Mm-hmm.
Then it occurred to me, you know, there's so many things that Jesus said that absolutely indict modern conventional Christianity. There are things that he said, don't do this, and we do it. There are things that he said, this is what I want you to do, and we don't do it. And I thought, I wonder what a Christianity would be if it was just based on the words of Christ. And so that's where the idea of seeking the scriptures, the red letters, the ones in the scriptures, the words of Christ, and applying them to my life. And I found them to be ever so powerful and changing, and it was like nothing I ever experienced in conventional Christianity. And buddy boy, I've been saved in some of the best churches in the country.
Well, can you give us a few examples, or just a couple examples of things that either he says to do or don't do that we're not getting right?
Well, I think a really good example is when he told us not to pray in public. We should, if we're going to pray, we should go into our closet and pray. Because a man will say things in public that he will not say in his closet. He'll say things in his closet that he will not say in public.
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious that the things that we say, the things that we're willing to talk about, the things we're willing to bring before the Lord, come out in private, not in public. And when we pray in public, you've heard it. Anybody who's ever been to church has heard the preacher. And I don't mean to be derogatory here, but I can't help it. But we've all heard the preacher pretend to pray to God. Oh, Lord, if there's somebody here, you know, that needs Jesus in their heart, well, why are you saying that? Of course there is. Or, you know, why are you're saying it so the crowd will hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, lay on their heart the financial burden of our church and let them know that, you know, we need money.
Yeah.
That's okay. He doesn't have to. You just did. We have all heard this. And what I found out when I decided to practice what Jesus said, and that is, don't pray in public, pray in your closet, I found that my prayer life totally changed, and I wouldn't exchange it for anything in the world. He told us about taking offerings in public. He don't do that. And yet, we do that, and yet, we pray in public. A couple of really huge examples, I think, and things that he told us to do that we don't do are the very simplistic things, much like what I was just mentioning to you about your, I don't know if you consider it to be a ministry, but I do. I love what you do. And but even in that case, there were a line of men standing before Jesus Christ as judge. And this line on this side, every one of them did these wonderful things in his name. There was another line of people who didn't even know who he was. And look at the things that he told, like he was speaking to these men who didn't even know, they didn't know his name. And he says, I want you to enter into the joy of the Lord. And they said, but we don't even know you. We don't know, who are you? What is this all about? We didn't do anything in your name. And he said, yes, but when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was sick, you came to me. When saw we thee in prison? When saw we thee in sickness or needing naked and needing clothes? When did we do that? He said, in that you did it unto these, the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. Well, here's a list of things that really appeal to our judge, so much so that he is willing to elevate their works even above the knowledge of his name.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't help but be impressed with that. And I'm thinking, why aren't we doing this? You know, dropping off a box of tracts at jail is not visiting those in prison.
No.
You know.
Well, let me be the first to tell you that you are right on the money.
Well, the...
How about this?
I guess you've seen that more than once.
How about this, Don? How about a ministry dropping off literature, this is a true story, on how to donate money from your commissary account?
No, please don't tell me that.
Oh, listen, if I told you who the minister was, you'd probably... And as I was going through... As I was listening, you go through these examples of things that Jesus says don't do, that we do, I'm thinking of, man, those cats over at TBN. Wow. So... Yeah. Let me we're getting close on time here. Ex-offenders,
sure.
How can the book help an ex-offender? Talk to us about that.
Well, you know, what my limited experience as a chaplain of a jail is, I was impressed with how many people incarcerated had a church background. They would quote scripture. They would talk about what their mom used to tell them, and they'd talk about what their preacher said, and they knew so much about Christianity. And then, of course, I was right in the middle of it myself. And but I never forgot the fact that many of them have been here.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I found that the difference in what I was involved in and what I have today... And the book talks about how I came to this place that I am. It's kind of an autobiography, and it's a nice little read. But most of all, it tells about how I came from that to where I am today. And I'm thinking, if people knew the truth about Christianity and our leader, not a pastor, not a priest or a prophet or a rabbi, but our leader, Jesus Christ, how it is his intention, and he is focused upon making them into new people. Nobody who gets out of jail has any intention on going back, except maybe a few, I don't know. But I mean, it's a horrible thing to happen to someone. And I believe that they really want to make a change. And I'm afraid that because of a sour experience they've had with Christianity, that they're going to judge it incorrectly. This is not about behavior modification or getting good counseling. This is about becoming a new man. And I'm afraid that concept is so obscured in television evangelism and radio evangelism and what we see in convention today, mm-hmm. that they'll never even give it a look. And I want them to... Give it a chance. You know, many atheists hate God because they think that Pastor Hairdo really does represent him.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you, he doesn't.
I agree with that. That's excellent.
Yeah.
How do we get the book, Don?
All you have to do is go to thinkredink.com,
okay.
thinkredink, and request it. You can... At doncharris.com, my name, Don C. Harris. You can find it there as well. One thing that's peculiar about our ministry is that I do not sell anything. I never ask anybody for money. I never do. And although we make available to your audience, these books to give to anyone who asks, I think some have been shipped to you. In case somebody comes by personally and wants one, but the truth is that anyone who asks for anything that we have, we send it to them. As long as we can afford to do so, we do that. But we will never ask anyone for anything ever.
Don, you were
a mandate.
You were on the same page as me. This podcast is. It costs time and money that I do not have,
sure does.
But I have turned down advertisers. I just refuse to do it. So
that's
not what this is about. And it's such a refreshing thing to hear from a man like you for a change, to tell you.
Wow.
And I want to encourage people to go over there to Don's side, and we'll have it listed next to the podcast so you can get in contact with
Don. Of course, the book is available on Amazon as well.
Sure. Okay.
But Amazon will sell you the book.
Oh, yeah. They will sell it, or you can go to Don's side. So,
that's right.
Don, I want to thank you so much for being here today. Don Harris has been our guest. His book is called Until Christ Be Formed in You, Think Red Ink. Don, thank you for being on The Journey of Hope.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. My name's Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Hey, y'all, if you know of anybody that would benefit from The Journey of Hope, pass it along to them, okay? You know, the goal here is not to be some huge podcast, but just to get to people that could benefit from the advice that's being offered here. And that's all it is advice. Take it or leave it. And I do hear from people from time to time, though, saying that they picked up on something in the show that is helping them in their reintegration, and that's the whole point of the podcast. So pass it along, family and friends of incarcerated individuals and people who have just been released or maybe working on reintegration and starting their lives over. That's what this show is all about. Pass it along, okay? To my special guest, Mr. Harris, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on The Journey of Hope.